Public media outlets across Wisconsin are reacting to the Trump administration's successful effort to claw back federal funding for NPR and PBS stations. It's Monday, July 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a new study has found that Wisconsin has fallen 10% behind the national average for per-student spending at public schools. And more than 500,000 people are expected to visit Oshkosh this week for the annual Air Venture fly-in. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is finding where you belong.
I was raised in central Wisconsin, growing up along the sides of shaded ginseng crops.
Deer Camp is more than a place. It is a unique state of mind and being.
I love Milwaukee. I'm very appreciative of everything that it has given me.
It draws you closer to each other and closer to the great circle of life.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
Public media organizations in Wisconsin are charting their next steps as they're set to lose federal funding. The effects of losing the funds would be felt the strongest at rural public radio and TV stations. One of them is WOJB, which broadcasts from the near La Coudere Reservation near Hayward. Carl Habeck manages the station and appeared on WPR's Wisconsin Today.
Not only can you not get internet, but a lot of people up here can't afford internet. So this is, they have no other choice, but radio is their sole provider for news, weather, information, school closings.
He said in the immediate future, his station might have to stop buying shows like NPR's Morning Edition and scale down their community events. A bill pulling back more than $1 billion in federal funding from public media passed both houses of Congress last week. President Donald Trump pushed for the cuts, arguing the public media is biased. Wisconsin's spending on public school students continues to fall behind the national average when adjusted for inflation. Rich Kramer has the details on a new analysis showing the state is nearly 10% behind the per-pupil spending across the rest of the country.
A Wisconsin Policy Forum report shows the state spent close to $15,000 per student in the 2022-2023 school year when inflation is taken into account. The national average was $16,500 per student. The analysis also looked at the share of Wisconsinites' income going to public education. In 2002, it was around 4.5%, which was above the national average. Researcher Mark Sommerhauser says that fell to around 3% in 2023.
And we are now, as of 2023, below the national average in the share of the income of all of our state's residents that we're collectively spending on our public schools.
The report stressed the data does not offer insight into the quality of education, but it does play a key role. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An updated report confirms that climate change is affecting the Great Lakes region through warmer and wetter weather. As Danielle Kading reports, the findings build on a 2019 study that was commissioned by the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
More than a dozen scientists released the report's findings of climate change impacts on the Great Lakes region. Lead author Don Webbles is an atmospheric scientist who has helped lead global and national climate assessments. He says the report confirms that the Great Lakes region continues to get warmer and wetter.
We're having more extreme weather, more precipitation coming as larger events than in the past, more dangerous heat.
Since the last study, the report found average annual temperatures have warmed around 1 degree Fahrenheit. The region has also warmed almost 3 degrees since 1951, and precipitation has increased 15%. Great Lakes states are likely to see expansion of harmful algae blooms, declining ice cover, and diminishing populations of lake whitefish. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Aviation enthusiasts from around the world are flocking to Wisconsin for the world's largest fly-in convention this week. The Experimental Aircraft Association's yearly Air Venture event in Oshkosh starts today. It features daily air shows and programming celebrating the history of aviation. According to EAA, more than 600,000 people have attended each year since 2021. A new UW-Oshkosh study found the event has an economic impact of more than $250 million. Anna Murphy-Pochask is with the local visitors bureau. She says the city has been busy getting ready for AirVenture.
We're super excited to have it here every year, and EAA just does such a great job of putting Oshkosh on the map.
More than 70% of the people who attend AirVenture come from outside of the state. Oshkosh welcomed visitors from 94 countries last year. Coming up, researchers are considering how we think about drought in a changing climate. Stay with us.
Lunchtime is always more fun with Larry.
What are some of your oddest requests?
The lady came in, she had a three-legged dog. Some genius veterinarian made this dog a strap-on peg leg, and he would wear this peg leg out. So for the next 4 or 5 years, he'd wear that heel material out, and she'd bring it in, and we'd replace it for him. That was a neat one.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekdays from 11 to 1 on WPR News.
And finally, drought is defined as an abnormal period of dryness, but climate change means that today's normal might not be the same as yesterday's. The National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine are now working on a new framework that factors climate trends into how we think about drought. The Ag and Water Desk's Harshan Radimpal has more on why that's so tricky.
Missouri State climatologist Zach Leeser works in an office divided by time. On the right is the old way of doing things. Dozens of scratched and torn leather-bound books filled with more than 100 years of handwritten state and local climate data. Cracking one open, Leeser turns to July 15, 1936, when the city of Columbia saw a high of 111 degrees.
This was the second hottest day on record ever in Columbia at that time in 1936.
A climatologist in the early 1900s would have spent each day collecting data with weather instruments and recording them in these books. But today, Leeser spends much more time on the left side of his office, where his computer is displaying weather models. One of his primary jobs is interpreting vast amounts of data every week to determine which parts of the state are in drought.
It can be precipitation data, we add soil moisture data, we have stream flow that's analyzed, some satellite data as well.
The job of a climatologist has changed a lot in 100 years. The climate has too. And those changes are making it harder to tell what is or isn't a drought. That's because drought is a measure of dryness relative to a, quote, normal baseline. But what if climate change is changing what's considered normal?
Is it really a drought, or is this just the new climate of this region?
That's climatologist Joel Lisenby. He does drought research out of the University of Colorado Boulder and is trying to answer that question. And he says it's a bit situational. There's no one answer to what drought even is. A 1985 study found over 150 published definitions of the term.
You really need to understand what type of drought you're looking at and why you're asking that question in the first place.
For instance, a climatologist whose job it is to take the long view of weather and climate might look at how dry things were over 100 years ago to determine if a place is in drought. If conditions are consistently getting hotter and drier, as they are in the American Southwest, maybe drought isn't the best way to define it. Here's Leeser.
Now, is this drought or what we call aridification, which is the entire climate getting drier?
That might mean cities develop land and water use plans that account for those changes. But a farmer will define drought more immediately. If things are dry and crops aren't growing, it's a drought. Climatologists are now coming together to figure out how to characterize drought because their proclamations have real practical consequences. For example, one of the tools used to assess drought is the U.S. Drought Monitor. It's updated weekly to track dry conditions and their severity across the country. Some federal policies that give farmers emergency relief money are tied to the Drought Monitor. If it's not calibrated to the new normals caused by climate change, that money might not be going to the right places. Here's Lisenby again.
We're talking real dollars, taxpayer dollars, and we really want to make sure that we're getting that assessment correct.
Understanding new weather and drought patterns is also important for planning ahead.
Building a reservoir or a pipeline or locks along a river, are you going to have enough water during the dry years? If that normal is lowering, is the drought period also lowering with it? These are some unknowns.
Back in his office, Leeser puts the 1936 climate record back on the shelf. He says Missouri doesn't really get to those scorching temperatures anymore. But the state is prone to drought, and its average temperature is trending upward. He'll be watching the National Academy study for how to incorporate that into his drought assessments. I'm Harshon Rattenpaul.
This story was produced by the Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk and is being distributed by Harvest Public Media. And of course, a quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. Mix of sunshine and clouds today. No rain expected with high temperatures in the 70s and 80s. Rain is possible in northwestern Wisconsin overnight. Otherwise, the rest of the state partly cloudy with lows in the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Courtney Everett, John Davis, and Deneen Smith. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.